Parents want their children to know everything. Sometimes when a child's grown and gone, you look back and think, we didn't get to teach them that, we didn't get to tell them that, and you realize, well, there was no way to teach a child everything that you possibly wanted to teach in the years that they were living in your house. There's no way possibly that you could teach them every fact you wanted to teach them, how to handle every life skill you wanted them to handle, how to handle every possible situation. Sometimes that's because our own failing. Sometimes it's because we just forget. Sometimes it's because certain things just don't come up over the course of time. You look back and think, how did we not think of that? And even if you're not a parent, there are things that you want to influence young people to know. But even then, with the combined efforts of all kinds of people, there's no way to possibly teach everything that you'd like to teach in a certain length of time. And you're thinking, then why are you preaching on this? Because it's impossible. But there are certain things, hopefully, that we know that we should strive to teach children as they're being raised in our homes and as we as a congregation are trying to influence them for good. And a great deal of those things can be summarized in just two words. Two words to teach your children. And I want you to open your Bibles back to the book of Proverbs. In fact, we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 1 in just a moment. And this morning's sermon is not meant to be a complete list. And I'm only partially telling you the truth because there's two words, but I've got 14 points. I'm not kidding. Seven under each. Because when we think about, when we go into the Proverbs, there are all kinds of things that we would like to teach young people that are emphasized throughout this book. But why, the reason I have these under 2 points is because there's a balance to be found in how we teach and encourage young people in certain areas. By the way, when I tell you the first point, you'll probably have a pretty good guess as to what the second word is. We'll just see if you're awake in a few minutes when we get there. But the reason we're doing it this way is sometimes, as parents or as those who are trying to influence young people, we can default to one way of doing this and fall out of balance in doing it both ways. And you'll see what I mean as we go along. Here's the first word. Teach them, yes. Now you probably have a guess what the other word is. You might be surprised, or you might not. But there are certain things that we need to teach our children to say yes to. And by this we mean there are certain things, as we're trying to influence young people, we should make sure that we give positive reinforcement, that we should constantly pushing them to go toward these areas. There are all kinds of them in Proverbs, but let me give you 7. First of all, we need to teach them to say yes to the wisdom of God. This comes from our scripture reading from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 that begins by saying, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Now, some people suggest that verse, in many ways, is sort of the theme verse for the whole book of Proverbs, because if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you know that concept comes up many, many times about seeking the will or the wisdom or the knowledge of God. Maybe most famously, it comes up in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." But that's not the only place it's found. Over and over in the book of Proverbs, and over throughout Scripture, we are reminded that the ultimate way to know knowledge and know wisdom is to follow the way of God. In the prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, in fact, in verse 17 of that chapter, speaking to God, He said, "Sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth." We need to always be telling our young people yes when they are seeking the wisdom of God, when they are striving to know what the Bible says, when we see them with an open Bible, say yes to that. Do they see us with open Bibles? They hear us talking about Scripture. Do we make certain that they're in Bible classes so that those who are teaching those classes can encourage them as well, along with helping you as a parent? They're showing these young people accounts from Scripture and other facts that will help them throughout life and help them to see this really is the wisdom of God. When there's a sermon being preached, I don't know, like right now, are they really listening? Are they making sure that they're listening as best they possibly can? No matter how large or small they might be, are we saying, well, let's open our ears because this is something that comes from the Word of God. We want to make sure that we're following along with what God has to say in His Word. We should always be encouraging young people to open the Scriptures and to seek the wisdom of God. We never need to say no to that because that's where true wisdom is always found. But also, we should say yes to the instruction of parents. And yes, this is somewhat self-serving for a parent to be preaching on making sure kids listen to their parents. But reading the very next verse, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 8, again that Jeff read for us a few minutes ago, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." The Bible over and over and over again emphasizes this relationship between parents and children, more specifically, children to their parents. And sometimes it speaks to things like the honoring of parents. You think about the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, honor your father and your mother. And Paul would bring that forward to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land or on the earth. But there's also this emphasis, especially in the book of Proverbs, not just on honoring parents, but on listening to their instruction. Now, that's true for a lot of reasons. It's wise for a lot of reasons. One of those reasons is simply because it's teaching a young person to respect authority. The first place children learn authority is in the home. Hopefully, they learn it there. But it's a skill, that's a life skill that's going to be effective for them and needed for them throughout all of life. Whether they're an employee dealing with a boss, whether they're a citizen dealing with the government and different people in the government, whether they're a Christian dealing with elders, ultimately, whether they're a human being dealing with God. We have to learn to understand other people have instructions for our lives that we are to listen to simply because they are in places of authority. But it's also important that children learn this, and I know they love hearing this, because your mom and dad have been there and done that. I know that's your favorite thing to hear all the time. But it is true that if parents are trying to raise their children, again, to point one, knowing God, then those parents are trying to instill things where they've gotten it right and frankly where they haven't. Where they've been through some mountains and been through some valleys. And they know some things that you don't know. Now, they might not know how to use Snapchat, but they know important things that are making a difference in life. And listening to that instruction is something they always need to say yes to, especially when the instruction is within the will of God. Here's number three. Tell them yes to hard, diligent work. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. And as I said, we're skipping around a lot this morning because there's hundreds of these in the book of Proverbs we could look at. But these were chosen for various reasons. Proverbs 10, verse 4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Now, let me quickly say, we don't teach our children to work hard or diligently just so they can have a lot of money. That's part of that verse. But throughout the book of Proverbs, the emphasis is more often on the diligence of the work. And Scripture constantly talks about making sure that we are people who see the value in good, hard, diligent work. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. We need to teach children to make certain that when they work, they do the job as well as they possibly can. When they're very, very small and they're cleaning their room, that might mean they only pick up 5 or 6 toys and that's the best they can do. But when they're 15, they can pick up a few more toys than that. Amen? Every parent goes, I will amen that all day long. But sometimes we don't instill that in our children to finish the job. Sometimes we don't instill in them to, yes, work efficiently, but don't cut corners. To finish the job you said you were going to do. Because that's a skill that is needed in life, yes. It's also needed in Christianity. We cannot stop what we have started. As Christians, we are to be faithful unto death. And that takes hard and diligent work throughout life to make certain that as a Christian, I am working for the Lord every possible way that I can for as long as I live. Not cutting corners and also not seeing where I can take time off or where I can end early. I'm going to make certain that I'm faithful to God all the way through. And that starts with teaching them this we often call work ethic in our homes. Here's number four. We just say yes to soul winning. The very next chapter, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, contains these words. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And whoever captures, or some translations have wins, souls, is wise. Our young people here at Central do a great job of this in a lot of ways. We should be very proud, by the way, of how many of our young people, whether their friends visit with them often, how often they invite their friends. A lot of them are very good at that. Sometimes we can learn better from them, by the way. But we need to teach them that that continues on all throughout life. And we teach them that what they're trying to do is not just, quote unquote, get a friend to go to church with me. But we're trying to help them see that we're trying to connect this life to Jesus, the one who is the only hope for their soul. And that may be a deep concept when they're very little, but as they grow, that's the concept we want to instill in their life, that we want them to know the Lord, because the Lord is the only hope that they have. He who wins souls is wise. Now, as our children are growing, are we making sure they have opportunities to try to help in that way? Here at Central, you got all kinds of opportunities. When your card writing team meets, go as a family. Take the kid, by the way, when they're little and they write those cards in like crayon and the R's are backwards and stuff, that'll be the person's favorite card they get anyway. Now, my R's are backwards because I'm a terrible writer, but they'll love it when it's a kid's and they see that this is little so-and-so and they're, man, this has to be like a five-year-old. And they're writing a card, yes. And help them to see there's a connection there between trying to encourage this person and a few weeks later, a month later, when that person shows up in a church building. Or maybe a few weeks or months later when that person actually is baptized or restored. If you have someone over to your house to study or just to encourage in a way, when your child's small, they may not be part of that conversation, but you let them help set the table or clean the living room. And you make the connection. You're helping here because mommy and daddy are going to talk to someone tonight about coming to church. And you make that connection for them that they have a part in this. And they're being wise in helping with something that is vastly important. And their part is very, very important in this. And you also continue to encourage them to invite their friends to whatever, to worship, to youth activities that Noah plans for the young people, or whatever it happens to be. Because that's a wise thing to do. And it's a lifestyle. It's not something we stop just because we get a little older. But we've, if I may put it this way, built that muscle when we're young. It becomes a whole lot easier throughout life. Here's the next one. We also say yes to honesty. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 22. There Solomon said, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight." Now, one reason I chose that verse is because if you notice, the opposite of lying in that verse is not truthfulness or honesty. What's the opposite of lying? Faithfulness. It's faithfulness. In other words, if I have lying lips, I'm not faithful to God. But turn this around. We're going to talk about lying more specifically in a few minutes. Turn this around and think about the positive of that. If I'm a person who is honest, that passage is saying I'm a person who is faithful. We often teach our children that little proverb, not scriptural proverb, but just a saying, honesty is the best policy, right? It's a whole lot deeper than that, though. Honesty is a godly policy. Christians are always to be honest people. Now, is that always easy? Of course not. Of course not. But we've all felt, quote unquote, cornered before. But teaching our children that honesty is faithfulness is something we always say yes to, and especially if we see them do something honest in a moment where it would have been easier to be dishonest. And you build that into a child. You showed a great deal of character in being willing to step up and say something or do something that shows a level of integrity and honesty that very few young people would have done. You are saying something there about your integrity and how much you love God and how you want to be faithful to Him that very few young people have. And I love you for that. That's very important that you, but also parents, they learn it from us. They hear us always being honest. Or they hear us just kind of sort of being honest sometimes. Be very, very careful. Here's number next. Say yes to kindness. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 is one of the more famous verses in the entire book of Proverbs, where Solomon said, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." A soft answer turns away wrath. You teach your kid to be kind. You think about the world in which our young people live. A lot of the things they deal with, or they interact with, is probably a better way of saying that, through media and video games and different things, is about domination. It's about you getting your way. You win. And the way that's often done is by what you say, and you make sure that you say whatever it takes to to win, or if you're watching a movie or something, you take whatever it's, the movie teaches, whatever you have to say to get what you want, that's what you say. And it can be built into a child. That's how you make it far in life, is you just say whatever it says, whether it's mean or cruel or kind or whatever it is. You just say whatever has to be said so I can get what I want. While it's not true 100% of the time, remember these are proverbs, I think most of us know that ultimately what gets us further in life is someone who's kind. It may not be easy in the moment because I know what I want and I know what I can say to get what I want. But over the course of time, someone who deals with situations with kindness is going to deal with situations a whole lot better over the course of a lifetime. And by the way, that's going to help in the future when they're dealing with all sorts of relationships, including, Lord willing, one day when they're seeking a spouse or when they're married. You're going to have to speak kindly. It's going to help when you're a Christian, as a young person, as a young adult, as a middle-aged person or whatever, and now there's another Christian who just didn't treat you the right way. I know that would never happen, but the Bible talks about it, so I guess it does somewhere, right? But what's the Bible tell us? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Sometimes it's easier just to lash out. But you say yes to that child who's kind, who always seems to say those things, to use Solomon's words, that are the soft answer. And then also, say yes to being a good friend. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Solomon said, a friend loves, notice the terminology, at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. Sometimes in a desire to sort of protect our children, they get their feelings hurt, something bad happens, and we basically, whether we say the words or not, we basically, well, just forget about them, cut off the relationship, and you go over here. There might be a time for that. But there's also a time for telling that child, a friend loves at all times. And that includes when your feelings are hurt. That includes when your buddy didn't say exactly the right thing. And we're going to try to do our best to work through this. That's not always easy because you don't want to deal with it. But it's a terrible, I know. But what are we building into that child for the future? When that child gets married one day, do you want them the first time there's a harsh word said just to sever the relationship? Because that's what you've taught them when they're a kid, if that's what you keep telling them over and over and over again. But instead, you teach them that a friend loves at all times. You make certain you're the one who's doing the best to hold the relationship together. Now, are there more in the book of Proverbs? Of course. But these are the kinds of things that we need to continually say yes to. You keep pressing into these things. There's many more in the book, and I hope we'll continue to search and find them. But there has to be a balance here. But we can't just constantly say yes to everything. So I'm guessing you probably know what the other word is. It's maybe. No, I'm just kidding. We also have to tell them no. There are certain things that we have to say no to. And here's the reason why, really. Because no sets the guardrails. No sets the boundaries so that then we can say yes. If children don't know where the guardrails are, good luck saying yes because you'll say yes to everything. I've actually read some, notice the quotation marks, experts before who have said a child should never hear the word no. Now, besides being absolutely crazy, I really doubt those experts actually believe that, and here's why. If those experts' child or grandchild was getting ready to run out into a busy street, do you really think the expert would say, I think you should say yes to turning around right now? Of course not. That child's going to hear no. You are not going into that street. Because no sets the boundaries. Again, there are multiplied numbers of these in Proverbs. Let me give you seven. Say no to laziness. I know we talked about hard work earlier, but let's take the opposite side. Because one of the most picturesque passages in the book of Proverbs is found in chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. And reading through verse 11, Solomon said, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Laziness in Scripture, when you take the totality of Scripture, is not just unwise. It's wrong. Now, there is a place, of course, for rest, because our bodies need the rest, our minds need the rest. But if we're honest, we all know there's a line between resting and being lazy. And we especially know that's true if laziness becomes a lifestyle. If we sort of begin to celebrate the fact that I don't do much of anything, that's a problem. And yet sometimes, do we not allow our young people to do that? I heard the other day, I was mentioning this to Noah the other day, and he's like, that's probably about right. So if this is wrong, blame him, because he agreed with it. That the average time now that it takes for someone to watch an entire season of television, a television show, you ready for this? 5 days. 5 days. And you know why. Autoplay the next one? Sure. Autoplay the next one? Sure. And by the time you're done, you've watched 23 episodes, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm on YouTube. Autoplay the next video? Sure. I'm on a video game that never ends. I'll play it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Is there a place for those kinds of things? Of course. But laziness is a sin. And at some point, we need to do some other stuff. We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. We need to help people. Go touch grass. See the sun. There's a beautiful thing out there. We cannot be people who are lazy, because God does not reward laziness well. Here's number two. Say no to sexual temptation. Proverbs 6, really beginning of verse 20, is a long section dealing with this concept. If you read Proverbs 6 from 20 through 35, you see the full context. But just for the sake of time, look at what Solomon writes by way of some rhetorical questions in verses 27 and 28 of the chapter. He says, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Now, you and I don't talk that way. I get that. But what Solomon's saying here is very obvious. In a context, again, from verse 20 through verse 35, that deals with sexual temptation, what he's saying here with these rhetorical questions is, you can't play around with this stuff and not get burned. You can't play around with this stuff and it not cost you. Can a man take fire next to his clothes and those clothes not get burned? You can't play around with it. And yet in our culture, we think you can. And we provide all kinds of ways for you to kind of to play around the edges of sexual temptation and not actually give, quote-unquote, into the sin itself. And young people sometimes are excused. They can wear whatever they want. And they can even have pictures on Instagram of them wearing whatever they want. Or I can follow some people just because I know what they're wearing on Instagram. And so I'll make sure I see those things. Or I'll watch movies or play video games where people just aren't wearing many clothes. And sometimes, frankly, less than not many clothes. And since I'm not actually actively involved in an illicit sexual activity, well, I'm fine. Lust is a sin, period. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 5, verse 28, that if I look at someone with the intent to lust after that person, I've already committed adultery with that person in my heart. And it's in that context that he would talk about how it's better to cut off my hand and go to heaven, or to pluck out my eye and go to heaven, than it is to see all that stuff here in this life, remain whole in body, and go to hell. We cannot play around with it. And we can't allow our young people to play around the edges of it, because they're going to get burned by sexual temptation. Here's number three. Say no to a quick temper. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, Solomon wrote these words. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Your translation may do this, but the ESV has hasty. That word translated hasty is a Hebrew word that literally means short. So it's a short temper. Is what Solomon's writing about. The one who has a short temper exalts folly. There are some young people sometimes who just are allowed to get away with just explosions because of whatever. They can just be angry all the time and, well, you better calm down at one, two, There are some of our kids who can't count to three. They can count to 2 3/4 all day long. What happens is the fuse gets shorter. And that's not going to serve them well in life. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Our pew packers sing it nearly every Sunday night. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many times in Scripture is God described as patient or long-suffering? And we're supposed to be reflecting His nature. And so we need to teach our children that there's a time to be angry, yes, but you can't have a short fuse. And you for sure can't let that fuse just keep getting shorter. It needs to be dealt with. Here's the next. Say no to greed. Proverbs 15, verse 27 says this. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. There's more than one proverb that deals with what we might basically call trying to get rich quick. And the Bible over and over and over again warns against greed, against covetousness, to use the fancy word, making sure that we just get whatever we want. And the reason really is greed consumes us. It's okay, it's natural for a child to see a toy or a gadget or something and to think that's a neat thing. That's fine, that's natural. All of us do that, and it's part of growing up, that you see things that you would like to have. But there's a strong difference in seeing something, that you think would be nice to have and being greedy for that thing. Because now that thing becomes the object of my desire. And the only thing that's be the object of my desire is God. Nothing else is to consume my thinking. And we have to instill in children that if you never get that thing, it's okay. You can be content with what you have. I think I've read that somewhere, even in the New Testament. Next, we must say no to pride. One of the more famous verses in the whole book of Proverbs, Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This can be hard to teach children, in part because we want our children to stand up for themselves, to have a semblance of self-respect. Of course, we want that. But pride is very different. Pride is basically saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I am the standard by which I will judge all things. So if my parents tell me something, they can tell me whatever they want to tell me, but I'm going to do what I want to do. If my teachers tell me something, they can tell me whatever they want to tell me, but I'm going to do what I want to do. If God tells me something, danger zone. He can tell me whatever he wants to tell me, but I'm going to do whatever I want to do. We have to teach children to, yes, have a sense of respect. But every young person in this room, I hope you'll listen to this. Your value is found in this. Are you ready? Your value is found in that God made you and loves you. That's where your value is found. That God made you and loves you. And that's enough. That's enough to be humble and thankful and not prideful. 6, say no to gossip. Proverbs 16, verse 28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. I chose this verse because that word whisperer, it's a general word, and it's very important for us to understand what the Bible is talking about when it talks about gossip. We use the word gossip really to describe one specific thing. We think about gossip as talking behind somebody's back, right? Especially in a negative way. That's one way the Bible uses gossip. It also uses the word gossip in a much, much more generic way, and that's what the word here means. You want to know what that word literally means? You ready? Chatterer. Chatterer. The word gossip in Scripture is a word, especially in the New Testament, that literally means idle talk, I-D-L-E, talk. In other words, talking just to be talking. There's half a split second of silence, so I've got to fill it. And I never think about what I'm going to say. Does that not get us in trouble all the time? That's why God says don't do it. Now, there are times where gossip is used more in the sense we think about it, malicious speech. Usually that's translated as something like talebearer or backbiter or something like that. But gossip just means I'm just talking just to be talking. Jesus reminds us that for every idle word we speak, we will be judged. By the way, take that to your texting and your social media for a second. For every time you just fired off a text to somebody without thinking about it, you're going to be judged for it. For every time I just posted something on social media just because, or I commented because I've just got to say something, I'll be judged for it. Our children need to be taught that when gossip starts, you leave. You leave the text thread, you leave the social media conversation, you leave the room, and you for sure don't continue the conversation. And here's the last one. Say no to lying. I know we talked about honesty earlier, but I want to come back to it more specifically here. Proverbs 19, verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape. Remember in John chapter 8 what Jesus said about lying? He's speaking specifically to certain people, but he told them, you're speaking like your father, the devil. In John 8, 44, he said, the devil is the father of lies. And so it's been said before that you and I are never more like the devil than we're telling an untruth. Our children need to know there is no time to lie. None. Zero. Christians are always to speak honestly. And lying is one of those things that needs to be punished severely, because lying comes straight from the devil himself. It's how he's introduced to us in Scripture. You won't surely die. And who ends up in the lake of fire? Among other people, all liars. Don't miss that word all in the book of Revelation. All liars will have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, let's go back to how we started. We obviously want to teach our children both ways, but sometimes we can default one way or another. There are some who are great at saying no. Don't do this, and don't do this, and don't. And sometimes as parents, that's our favorite word. Don't. Right? And sometimes because we feel like we have to say no, we have to say don't, so often we forget to encourage the good. We forget to actually step up and say, here is something to strive for. Here's something you did well. Here is a righteous thing. But on the other side of that coin, there are some who believe that all children ever need is positive reinforcement and good and happy, you know, Skittles and flowers and rainbows and all kinds of stuff or whatever. But if they're never told no, they don't know where the boundaries are. They don't know where the guardrails are. It takes both. And we know that not just in the book of Proverbs. We know that because that's how God deals with us. How many times in Scripture does God give us something positive to reach for? The whole plan of salvation is positive things to do. You are to believe. You are to repent. You are to confess. You are to be baptized. Those are things to say yes to strive toward, and continue to make certain that you're seeking God's wisdom in those things. But then how often does God also say, there are some things you cannot do? Lists like the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. Lists like what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A list or two in the end of the book of Revelation and elsewhere. Because God knows that we have to know where the guardrails are so we can continue to press forward to those things that are good and right and righteous. We've got some great young people here at Central. And we've got families that are trying to do it right. And for every one of you, we're thankful. But for those of us who don't have children of our own, or they're grown or gone or whatever, so many of you influence our young people so well. And I hope that you will continue to do that in both of these ways. But for all of us, let's be thankful that we have a heavenly Father who knows how to do both perfectly and is laid out in His Word perfectly. Here's the good for which to strive, and here are the no's to avoid. Because His wisdom is what gets us through this life, and obeying His wisdom is what causes us to go home with Him for all eternity. This morning, if you need to come to him, will you do so? Always stand and sing to encourage you.